We really do want to show our appreciation to Janae and Casey, who are, she is Jesse Robinson's sister, and it's been really wonderful to have them lead us in worship. Good morning. I hope you had a Thanksgiving full of gratitude. There is a saying among veterinarians. You'll remember I used to be a vet. The saying is, sheep are born looking for a place to die. And I have a story about that saying this morning. Early one morning, I had a sheep farmer pull his trailer into the barn around the back of my animal hospital. And in the back of the trailer were five or six sheep. It's been years now. I can't quite remember. But they were obviously all in shock, even though on examination, their wounds didn't look very serious. The farmer told me that they had been attacked by a dog. He thought it was probably a wolf. But he was confident that he had shot the predator with his shotgun. And just then, I got a call from the front of the clinic that there was an emergency. So I left the sheep farmer, asking him to get his animals settled in my stall. And inside, I found I had a big German shepherd dog was waiting for me. And the owner told me that his dog had come home very early that morning, obviously shot by someone. And so I do not want your counsel now on business ethics, because this is a case study worthy of Darden. But what I did was, I stepped out of the exam room and spoke with my office manager, a woman who, for some reason, we called Tugboat. And I told Tugboat that under no condition was the farmer in the back and the dog owner in the front to come into contact with each other. The dog, though its wounds were terrible, pulled through. But the sheep, though they seemed hardly scratched, over the course of the next three, each one of them died. And I reminded myself, comforted myself with, sheep are born looking for a place to die. They just aren't tough or hardy, and they need a lot of care, and they need a lot of protection. And this will show up in the rest of the sermon. But dear ones, as Michael said, this is the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of the church's calendar, because we're a little bit out of step with the rest of our culture. Our calendar follows the life and ministry of Jesus, which is the story at the real center of human history. Advent is a time, as we have heard April say, of waiting and longing. The people of Israel eagerly awaited the first coming of the Messiah. It was foretold. And now we, the people of God from every nation, eagerly await the second Advent, the second coming of Jesus Christ. There are many things to enjoy about Advent. It would be fun to hear from you, yours. Here are two for me. We get to discuss angels more this time of year, and I find angels fascinating. And we talk more than usual about the Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfilled when he arrived, which has always been very important to the church. And this morning we are going to discuss what I think is one of the most beautiful of the prophetic passages. It is found in Ezekiel, kind of a funny neighborhood. And this fall, if you were here, you will remember that we had a sermon series on the return of the Jews from their years in exile, captive in Babylon. Do you remember that? They returned and rebuilt the city from its rubble. And Ezekiel's context, where was Ezekiel? Ezekiel was writing during that exile, writing from Babylon as one of those captives. So that's who we're going to hear from this morning. Turn, if you would, in your order of worship to Ezekiel chapter 34. I'll read this for you. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. And I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. And now verses 23 and 24. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Ezekiel is writing about the situation of the Jews in his day of exile. But he is also writing for the Jews not yet born about the first advent of the Messiah. And yet, we can also see that he is writing for us as we also await the second advent of Jesus Christ. This is how wonderfully dense the Old Testament can be. The Holy Spirit can give one passage these several horizons. Well, what's the situation? The sheep, we are told, are scattered, and this is not a good thing. A lone sheep, if you've ever been around them, a lost sheep is a very anxious animal. Israel was scattered in its exile and diaspora. And, dear ones, our society and our families and our nations are lost. We humans are not flourishing despite our wealth and our technology. We don't know the way we should go to find true life. We are not at peace with the planet God has given to us to steward, and our nations and cultures are in deadly competition with each other. And as individuals, we feel alone and cut off, even with all the means of communication in our pockets. We might use the word alienated instead of the word scattered, because we are alienated from our world and from each other and even from ourselves. We stumble in darkness. Do you recognize yourself and your neighbors and this world in that? But what is worse? The passage continues. The very people who are entrusted to care for us and guide us, the shepherds meant to protect us and heal our pervasive alienation, instead of caring and searching for the sheep, they are looking out for themselves, Ezekiel says. Those intended to be shepherds are feeding themselves. They grow sleek and fat, devouring the sheep. And I, of course, this morning truly find this very frightening, because there are many kinds of shepherds in the world, but certainly a pastor is meant to be a shepherd. And so this morning I have to ask myself in God's presence, am I looking after the interests of the people God has given to me? Am I watching after the safety of your souls? Am I feeding you the healthy food? Am I guiding you on the right path? Or am I looking after my comfort and my ambitions and using you to satisfy my desires? And of course, there are many different kinds of shepherds in the world. Almost everybody in this room is a shepherd of some sort, in some role, in some capacity to someone. And you need to ask yourself those same questions. You need to ask yourself those same questions. Are you a good and faithful shepherd of these things? But God sees the situation that Ezekiel describes, because underlying our alienation with the world and with others and with ourselves, there lies an even deeper level. We are alienated from God, who is the source of life. The other problems are the superficial ones, and they result from this deeper one. And so please, if you're here this morning, hear the voice of wisdom. Don't make the terrible mistake of thinking that you will work on the surface problems while ignoring the most basic one. In verse 11, listen to God's compassion for us in this situation. I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And listen again to God's desire in verse 16. It almost overwhelms me. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Dear ones, this is what we need, just this kind of good shepherd. Because this morning, even if you have been a follower of the Lord Jesus, do you find yourself this morning lost and don't know which way to go? As you think about yourself, have you strayed from the path that you knew once was right? But are you seriously wounded? Do you need to be healed? Or do you find that you have run out of your own strength and need to rely upon God's at this point? Or you have to ask, are you using your power in the world to ignore justice for others of God's children? Wherever you find yourself, God has seen your situation and has decided to take things into his own capable hands. And what is God's plan? He is sending the faithful and trustworthy shepherd. There is only one. And here Ezekiel calls him David. And I feel for Ezekiel because he must have wondered, what am I writing? What does this mean? For David was king, but many generations before. We, of course, can understand that this David is Christ, the son of David through Mary, because it is he who came to seek out the lost. It is he who came to heal with his own wounds. It is he who came to feed us with his own flesh. He came to provide us with living water, the power of God which indwells us through the presence of his Holy Spirit. And he has reconciled a whole people together in his one body, the church, through time and space. This morning, we actually do not worship alone. We worship with the people of Christ all around the globe and all through time. And we join with those who are already in the kingdom. We are not alone this morning. He is going to judge all the earth with righteousness. And only he can do that, because only he knows everything. Only he is capable of impartiality. Only he understands our need for mercy. So here's how Jesus himself spoke of it. For some of us, these will be really familiar words. Hear them with new ears. The words of Christ. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Isn't it wonderful? As we think today and this season, as we think of the humility of Jesus, it is easy to think of the manger. Jesus, as a baby, slept outside of the inn. He was laid where they put the hay for the animals. And that makes a kind of wonderful sense for the good shepherd who humbled himself and came in search of us. The Son of God was born in answer to Ezekiel's prophecy. The good shepherd actually, this is odd, the good shepherd actually became a sheep himself. But when we think of the humility of Jesus, do think of the manger, but we must also think of the cross. Because like all sheep, Jesus was born looking for a place to die. The good shepherd became a sheep, and then he became the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so if you feel alienated from God, do consider the humility of Jesus and what his search for us has cost him. Because this is the best place to look for God's love for us. This Advent, use the wreath to meditate on the humility of Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of David. And now I'm going to do something that I have never done before. I am going to use a painting to illustrate a sermon. So, painting maestro. Voila. Hallelujah. Thank you. This painting is part of the wonderful Guelph altarpiece. And the part that I am focusing on has the great title, The Adoration of the Mystic Lamb. It comes from a vision in the book of Revelation, and I have a copy of this in my office that I contemplate each day. And so if my door is open, please come in and have a look. If my door is closed, please don't. Okay. Around the high altar of the kingdom of heaven, and poor Jan van Eyck, of course, he thinks that heaven can't look any better than Holland, but you get that picture. A little hilly for Holland, though. Around the high altar of the kingdom of heaven, there are four streams of people converging. Can you see them? On the lower right are the Old Testament saints, and you can recognize them by things that they carry. And if I were smart enough, I bet we could find Ezekiel in there. But across from them are the New Testament believers. The disciples of Jesus are in the front row. And you'll notice that both the Old Testament and the New Testament saints are searching the scriptures. And then in the background, approaching from the left, are the women martyrs, and from the right, the male martyrs. And in the foreground is the baptismal fountain of the living water of eternal life. And way above the altar is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Okay, detail, please. There. Around the altar is a circle of angels, and some of them are using incense, which is the praise of the church, and others are carrying the implements that were used to torture the Lord Jesus at his crucifixion. Very strange to have those there. But I remember the day I saw this painting in art history in college, and I was just struck by it. The best part is the figure on the altar of God. The Lamb of God stands planted there, looking directly at us, with a perfect expression that I've never seen on a sheep's face, because there is no shock or frailty here. He wears a peaceful and yet victorious expression. And dear ones, eternally, his heart's blood flows into the chalice for us in a flood that will never end. There's one thing that I do not like about the painting. At the kingdom, when we converge on the altar, there shall be people from every tribe and language. Jan van Eyck only painted white people. But let's forgive him, given where and when he lived. Okay, thank you. Jesus Christ is our humble King today. taking on the mission of God for our sakes, being the shepherd that we need, becoming a sheep himself in solidarity with us, taking on our image and likeness so that we can end our alienation and recover his image and likeness. And he even became the Lamb of God, the promised sacrifice for us. And so here is our food and our drink and our healing and our light and our forgiveness. Let me pray. Lord God, you were before all things. You are now, and you shall be forever. You are our Creator, and we thank you for seeing our situation, our scattered alienation in all the forms it takes, as many as there are people. And we ask, Lord, with great confidence that you would find us, that you would heal us, that you would feed us, that you would rescue us, that you would teach us. And we thank you for sending your only Son as our salvation. And we pray it through Jesus Christ. Amen.